Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day in which we can celebrate the salvation that we have in Christ, the rest and peace that we have because not only did he die for us, but he reigns victorious in heaven for us, all things now working together for our salvation. This is a day when we can be free from anxiety because we are confident in our King. We thank you for this day when we can focus our minds and our hearts on you and in fellowship with your people be encouraged, a day in which we can bring your word to others. Father, we have this day in which we can assemble for worship to praise your most holy name. You deserve all praise and adoration, and we come with gladness to bring it. Father, we pray that our worship may be acceptable in your sight. Grant your spirit, keep us from straying thoughts and sleepiness. Enable us to worship in spirit and truth, and bless him who brings your word that he may bring it in truth and in clarity. Strengthen us, build us up, so that we may live in your peace and rest in the week that comes. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We read Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word. Dear people of God, called to be saints, how much were you in anticipation of this worship service? Boys and girls, were you excited about coming to worship? Were you excited about coming here so you could sing and you could pray together with God's people, and you could sit and you could learn from Jesus. And here we could together show our God how much we love him. Sometimes when we approach worship, we can be pretty rushed. And so rushed that we do not adequately prepare ourselves to enter into the presence of the holy. And so sometimes as we come to church in a rather rushed or hectic mood, we enter in not fully prepared, but we're coming because that's our routine. We want to come. That's not the point. But sometimes we still come out of a routine. We're not really ready in anticipation for the presence of the holy. Perhaps travel time could be used to pray for this. Unless you're Ted and Kim, that they got to walk over then and pray walking. But that's a good time to pray or to talk with children. What are we doing? What are we going to? Perhaps you could read the passage that we're going to preach on at the noon meal. Ellen and Alyssa and I, we sing through the songs as much as we know them on the way here. And that helps prepare us a bit for entering into worship. And I guess we could all do that because we have the bulletins and we all have copies of the Psalter hymnal, right? But it is important to enter into worship with serious consideration. We are, after all, entering into the presence of the Holy, of Him who is the judge, before whom we will stand and give an account someday. That's the point the psalm is making, isn't it? To worship is to give God His worth, His due. Literally, of course, it means to prostrate oneself in humble adoration and submission. We don't have room to go prostrate here. Some churches have kneeling benches so that people can kneel as a demonstration of their submission. We were in one for the Chamber Singers Concert Choir on Friday night, and they had kneeling benches there. And some people use them. You see, God is worthy of all honor and adoration. And in worship, we give to God the praise appropriate to who He is. In worship, we give Him our submission, our reverent praise. Psalm 96 calls the nations to give God what is due His name. After all, He is the Creator. All people should be worshiping God. But for us who believe, for us who have been saved, we are called not only because He is our Creator, but because He is our Redeemer. And in Romans 12, we are taught that this worship is literally giving ourselves entirely, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That's what worship is, a total giving of ourselves to God in praise as befits His holy name. Now, you may not have been paying attention, but this phrase, what I used as a call to worship this afternoon, was literally the same words as I used this morning, but from an entirely different psalm. And both of them are really an echo of what's found in 1 Chronicles 16. When the Ark of the Covenant was being brought up to the tabernacle, all the people were called to worship God in the splendor of His holiness. And that same phrase, as I've said, is echoed in Psalm 29. There the emphasis on being on God as the Creator. And there the angels, also the mighty ones, being called to worship God in the beauty of His holiness. A picture that we have in the book of Revelation of absolute holiness. And all the angels are always constantly singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Here the Spirit calls all nations to enter into this adoration and praise of God for His creative work, but also for His re-creative work. In verse 1, we are called to sing a new song. That doesn't mean a brand new song that we've never sung before. That simply means a new song, because this is a message that as old as the hills is to us ever new, because salvation is ever new to us. In verse 2, it talks about proclaim his salvation day after day. So this is to be an ongoing praise and adoration. In verse 3, it says, declare his glory among the nations. In verses 4 and 5, the psalmist points out that all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But Yahweh made the heavens. And verse 6 says, splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Keeping those things in mind, we have that refrain, ascribe to the Lord, that give to the Lord, O families of the nations, give to the Lord the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Now, this is not a call for the nations to come to the tabernacle. That would be an earlier context. It's not a call for the nations to come to the temple in Jerusalem. It is a call to the nations to enter into the reality of which they were only pictures. The tabernacle and the temple were only pictures. This is a call to enter into the presence of the Almighty, to enter into the heavenly courts by faith in the Creator and redeeming God. We are here assembled in the presence of the Creator of this universe. He made us, and we owe him for every breath we take. We owe him our lives. And he is to be revered and honored above anything else in all creation, above all idols. He is the God of strength. He is the God of glory. Who he speaks and worlds are formed. Who breathes and dust comes to life. Who blows and plants wither. Who controls the dreams of kings and the well-being of nations, directing the heathen for the welfare of his people. Verse 6 speaks of his glory and majesty again. Strength and glory is found in his sanctuary. And again, sanctuary, don't think of the earthly tabernacle or temple. They were beautiful. You sometimes watch these magnificent worship services. If you've seen the royal weddings, they kind of compare with it. But you sometimes see in the Roman Catholic Church some of the ornate services they can have, these beautiful cathedrals. And the priests are all wearing their ornate garments, and they're waving the incense, and there's the choirs, and it's impressive. And Old Testament worship, they had the incense, they had the priests in their ornate garments, sounds of bells tinkling as they walked. There were the smells of the sacrifices, there was the aroma of bread, there was the scent of incense. There was the delightful sound of the priestly choirs and orchestras. covering up, I guess, the sounds also of bleating sheep and lowing cattle. There was a magnificent ceremony that took place around the tabernacle and temple, particularly on the Day of Atonement. And if we would see them, we would say, wow. What we do here, what is it? Well, we have to understand all those robes, all those priestly choirs and orchestras, all the tinkling bells and all these ceremonies, just pictures. They were diagrams in order to put the people's attention to the realities of heaven, to the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt, surrounded by the cherubim. Boys and girls, think of your own shadow. Do you think it looks much like you? Well, sometimes it might, depending on exactly how the light falls. But most of the time, it's just a gray blob. Sometimes it's a gray blob right beneath you, and at other times it's stretched out extra long, and it doesn't really look like you. Of course, even a real picture doesn't always catch the real you. Well, those Old Testament ceremonies, the buildings, beautiful as they were pale shadows of the heavenly reality. Well, you've understood something, that we do not here worship with pictures and shadows, the ceremonies of the Mosaic Covenant as at Mount Sinai. I don't even own a robe. We offer no sacrifices, no smell of incense. We don't have a consistorial or a council choir. We come into the presence of the Almighty here. We gather as God's people on the basis of Jesus Christ's work. And in faith, we lift our hearts to the God who is in heaven. As Hebrews 12 says, we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We are assembled here, not with cherubim painted on our walls, but we are in the presence of the angels. That's why Paul gives instructions about how to worship for the sake of the angels. We are here one with all the hosts of heaven in glorious worship. We here are the assembly of the firstborn. We are here in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lamb, our mediator, whose blood has been shed for the forgiveness of sins once for all time. And we are not simply here engaged in a ceremony. We are in the assembly of Him who is holy, in the assembly of the holy angels. We are here, one with all who are holy, through the blood of Christ. And all of us here are lifting our hearts in praise to the glorious God. And we're not here worshiping through pictures, through symbols, through shadows, but we are worshiping in reality, by faith, because we have Jesus Christ among us, by his Spirit and Word. Through the Word, we are here and we see Jesus in his glorious perfection. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. That's echoed in 1 Timothy 6, which says of Jesus that he is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light. That means no sin. In the presence of Christ, because of his sacrifice, no sin. Talked about that this morning after the Lord's Supper. There's no sin. It's been forgiven. As if we had never sinned or been a sinner. As his love is perfect, his mercy is perfect, his beauty is perfect, his peace is perfect. All is calm. And all is bright. Because Christ is here. And we with him. I have entered church buildings where upon entering the worship hall, people would whisper as if somehow they were now in the presence of the holy. That's hogwash. It may be a building that is dedicated to worship, but it still is just a worship hall. It may be very elaborate, but it's still just a worship hall. On my first summer assignment at Edmonton Second, I preached from the book of Haggai. That was one of the sermons I dared to preach because it had been examined by one of my professors at seminary and approved by him. So I thought I was on safe ground, but preached on Haggai, where he exhorted the people, hey, it's not time for you guys to be living in your paneled houses while the temple is in ruins. And after the sermon, people came up and they started telling me about their former church building down the street, how it was in ruins because where it had been a hall for worship, it was now a bar and a dance hall. And should they be doing something about that? I said, as sad as that may be, that something that was devoted to worship has become something not devoted to worship. The point of the temple today is that it's not a building. It is a gathering of people wherever they gather. I have worshiped in the outdoors. I have worshiped in stadiums where I was a little bit concerned about bird droppings. I have worshiped in barns. I have worshiped in office buildings. And it makes no difference. Really, it doesn't. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Christ, there he is. Doesn't matter in that sense what the surroundings are like. Where God's people are gathered in faith, he is there in the midst of them. And there all is holy. There, let all the earth keep silent before him. There, be still and know that he is God. Don't you sense that? When we sing, we're lifting our voices. We should be lifting our voices, and we do. But we should be lifting our hearts, and not just to be heard by each other, but to be heard in heaven. We're praising God. And as we lift our voices, we know that the saints in glory join us in praise. And we pray, longing for the day when the church will be completely united once again. But as we pray here, lifting our hearts to heaven, Christ is taking our prayers, and he sanctifies our prayers, and they are presented to the Father, who hears and who responds. When we listen to the Bible as it is read, when we listen to the word preached, we are hearing our Savior speaking to us. He's teaching us. As we give our offerings, we're giving them to God. We're not giving them to the deacons. Through the deacons, they are our expressions of love and gratitude to God, to be used to advance the glory of his name here and in missions around the world. We worship here by faith. And it's real, because it is the Spirit in his word that unites us in praise. Here, we can only worship. We assemble together, not just to get something, which we do, but first and foremost, to give God his due. In our prayers, in our songs, in our listening, and in our offerings. And what do we give? With lips and hearts, we acknowledge his power and his glory. We're praising his perfect name, and we sing of his excellence. Have you noticed that in the songs that we sing, that the majority of them are very directly focused upon him and his glory and his power? We come in and we honor him, but we come into this presence, into his presence, with humility. We do so because he is our creator. He is awesome beyond all things. Yet we come boldly because Jesus Christ is our Savior and he's our mediator. But it's always reverent, because we are creatures and he is the creator. And the Spirit says here, we come into his courts with an offering. We bring our offerings as an expression of our gratitude. Again, to further the cause of the gospel, to minister to the needs of God's people, the needy. But we do not here bring tithes like the Old Testament people. You know, tithes were a part of the Old Testament, and they would give a 10% for the priest and 10% in gratitude. It wasn't just a 10%, it was actually a 20% tithe, and in some cases 30. What do? Not just the tithe. Again, that's an Old Testament regulation. You don't read of that in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we give as the Lord has blessed. Not just the tenth, our all. We give our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. We surrender our minds to be transformed by him. We talked about that this morning, how we have to have a new vision. Let him transform our minds, our wills. We submit, we humble ourselves so that we might be shaped by him, by his character. We submit our spirits to his refining spirit and word. We each do this individually, but we also do it together as a body, because we are one new humanity, a new body in Christ. All of our gifts are for the glory of God. All of our gifts are for the building up of the ministry of God. All of our voices are united in praise to God. Our hearts are in prayer. Our hands are giving. Our ears are listening. Our wills are following Christ as he brings us to the Father. and you notice something, there is an emphasis in this psalm on his kingship and authority. Verse 10 says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the world, the peoples, with equity. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in truth." And that is a common emphasis in Scripture. Worship. What we do here is a foretaste of the coming assembly in the presence of our Savior and Judge. Hebrews tells us, don't neglect the gathering together of God's people, especially in light of the coming of the Lord. You think, why is that? Well, because when you meet the Lord, you better be ready. And this is a service to prepare. Here we come into the presence of the Judge. Here all the nations are called to assemble before him and worship as a preparation to meet him who is coming to judge the world in righteous justice. And this has to be our focus in worship. This is why we have to prepare ourselves for worship. This is our cause for rejoicing. See, Jesus, our Redeemer, is coming again. He's coming as Judge. But he's coming to make all things new. The psalmist says, verse 11 and following, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and everything in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy, for they will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth." Coming because of judgment? They're rejoicing? We understand judgment means making everything new, making everything right. All creation is longing for the day when Christ comes back and sin is no more. And it's with that kind of joyful anticipation that we should be entering into the presence of the Holy. Anticipation of the day when we are going to see face to face our Savior Judge. We rejoice because we know he is our Savior. And we can speak of it as verse 2 says, our Judge is our Redeemer who saves people from their sin. God judges absolutely justly, and once a sentence is paid, he will never punish it again. I will remember their sins no more. So come into worship without fear, even though we meet with the Judge. Jesus came into the world. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And so we can come in joyful anticipation. We come without fear. We know that here God will not condemn us, but will grant us his blessing. Just as when Christ comes, we need not fear. He will not condemn us. We will only know his blessing. And so we gather for praise. And we call all the creation to join with us. Every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, every tree, every rock, every mountain, every cloud, everything. Praise God by being who we were created to be. Yes, we enjoy and invite others to join us in worship. We invite our neighbors, right? To join us in worship. Because here they can meet the Judge of all the earth. Here they can meet Jesus, who is coming to judge the nations. And that's one reason why a lot of people don't like to go to church. Because they are afraid of the Holy. They are afraid of the Judge. But when we invite them, we have to remind them that if they come in humble faith and repentance, that this is a day of salvation. The final day is yet off. This is a time to get ready for the final day. So invite them to get ready. Invite them to be prepared for the holy. Here we are in the presence of holy. Invite everybody in so that all may see his glory, his beauty, and may long for complete fullness and restoration. Brothers and sisters, to enjoy the beauty of holiness, to enjoy the beauty of God, when we gather here in this room with other of God's people, it can only be worship in spirit and truth when we come by faith in Jesus' name, preparing our hearts to adequately honor and praise him. How we come through these doors is crucial. Worship, you see, is a submission of hearts, first of all, in love with God. Our hearts must be right with him before we enter into worship. Again, we are coming to the presence of the judge of all the earth. But we come remembering and believing what he has done for us in Christ, and we are honoring him as he calls us into his presence in Christ's name. We come remembering these things, and we must be aware, and we must believe that as we gather in this room together, we're not simply sitting here as individuals, we're not just simply sitting here together with our families, but we are here as the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just a meeting with friends. This is a meeting with the Almighty Creator, the Sovereign Redeemer, and the Holy Comforter. And remembering these things, you don't just come casually and indifferently into worship. It's with humble and repentant praise, with joy in Christ. We assemble with all the saints to fill the earth with the praise of God. Coming into worship without prayer doesn't help this. I know we have a moment of silent prayer before the service, and that's an assistance to enter the presence of God correctly. But in my experience, that isn't enough. We have to be in prayer before that. In fact, I would suggest be in prayer all week long. In fact, I would request start praying tonight that next Sunday God would equip me to lead you in worship and to feed you with his word in a way that nourishes. Pray that way every day. And you will see your prayers answered. But we must enter into his courts with prayer. And coming in to worship, if we are exhausted physically, means we can't give him our all physically. If we are so exhausted we can't keep our eyes open, or we can't concentrate on what we are doing, then we're not giving to God all that is due his name. Coming with our minds still occupied on what's out there, filled with the business of life, makes it difficult for our minds to be transformed by his vision. Preparing ourselves and our children physically, spiritually, mentally is essential. When I was growing up, I thought that was the whole point of a bath on Saturday night. That's what you did to get ready for worship. And that was only part of it in my parents' estimation. And we have to help our children come into this place of worship with reverence and with awe. The building is nothing special, but we are here entering into the presence of the holy. And this has to be displayed in their attitude toward each other and even to this place. This is the presence of the holy. With quiet humility, but in absolute trust in Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior. We come into God's presence only on the merits of Jesus Christ. And we have to help our children and visitors to know that in worship we are approaching the holy Creator, Redeemer, God, who is a consuming fire, as Hebrews tells us. And so we leave here. We've enjoyed rest and peace in Christ. Tomorrow we get up. We remind our children to get dressed with the clothing that we talked about this morning, that they can live all week wearing the righteousness and holiness of Christ. All week long, we remind them to be holy. And that's an exhausting task. And they will be ready for next Sunday to be in the presence of the holy and to be renewed. Daily devotions as a family and as individuals is something absolutely essential to making worship a blessing. And again, when we come to worship, we come fully dressed. Outwardly. What does it take for us to approach worship and bringing true hearts? Not rushing in, you'd say, at the last minute, sitting down and our minds are occupied and other things. We have to prepare our bodies, we have to prepare our hearts through prayer and meditation upon God's word. We have to work at making sure that we are fully dressed in the righteousness of Christ in heart and mind. This is a day of rest from daily labor so that we may assemble here in holy worship. We are assembled here and we must prepare ourselves to bring our all in sacrifice to our God, a sacrifice of praise. Not here, first of all, to receive a blessing. Although we will, but when we come in faith, he receives us as children, and we will experience his love and his compassion, his mercy, his grace. What marvelous, wondrous beauty, peace there is here in the presence of our triune God. Let us renew our minds and learn to enjoy his presence with a wholehearted exuberance. Amen.